I'm really, really excited to get into the scriptures this morning to share with you guys about this theme of the year of being rooted and grounded in love, and to talk about the things that the expressions of God, that of God's love, that we dig our lives deep down into. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We are rooted and grounded in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is this third person of the Trinity, and he is literally present inside of the life of the believer. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God comes in and works in you. He is a person. This is a weird thing. This is one of those areas of church doctrine that kind of gets lost in the picture. Back in 1977, this cultural phenomenon swept across the United States of America and became this idea of the force. The force entered into our mindset. We thought this, we saw the movie Star Wars, and we thought, wow, there's this some sort of special energy all around the world that we can kind of partner with and listen to and use it to lift rocks. Ooh. And it became really cool, and kids love it, and it's a fun idea. And a lot of, the sad thing is, that was 1 year after the founding of Living Way Church, which is 1976, right? So Star Wars came out in 1977, and then everybody was like, oh, the Holy Spirit and the Force, that's what it is. No, the Holy Spirit's not the Force. The Force isn't real. That's fiction. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the way we know he's a person, including lots of different scriptures that show us that, but one of the most key verses to describe the personhood of the Holy Spirit comes from our text today, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. Here's what it says. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If you can grieve someone, they are a person. You cannot grieve an impersonal thing. Doesn't make sense. Instead, there is a person that feels, that has emotions, has purposes, has personality, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. And he is upon you to seal you for the day of redemption. And when we rebel against him, reject him, don't listen to him, the scripture says he is grieved. When we talk ill of each other, when we tear down, the Spirit of God within us is grieved. So I want to talk about this Holy Spirit, who he is. And last week I talked to you about repentance. And we looked at the scriptures that contrast these different, here's what repentance is. It's turning from lies to telling the truth. It's a 180 degree. It's a turning from the one thing, stop stealing, let the thief no longer steal, but let him work hard so that he has something to give. From stealing to giving. And so now here we see this work of repentance is something that, let's just be honest, repentance is difficult. Repentance is hard to do. When we do something on our own, changing anything in our lives is not easy. Just changing your bedtime is hard, right? Did you guys go through that when we started school a few weeks ago? Yeah, kids, anybody, you guys change your bedtime, start going to bed earlier? No, you didn't, because it's difficult. Yeah, start going to bed earlier. Come on. No, instead we're just going to change every school start time and move it back to noon. Stupid. Anyway, change is difficult. It's especially difficult if you don't have the power to make that change. This is why the Holy Spirit is so great. He is the secret power behind our life of repentance. He dwells in us and enables us and empowers us to change, to do things differently. In Acts chapter 2, the story goes that Peter, the day of Pentecost came, and the disciples were gathered together and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in other tongues. That is, in the, it says that they spoke languages that they didn't learn. They just got some download, some instant download of a foreign language, and were able to proclaim the praises of God in somebody else's language. And the people on the outside were walking by, and they're like, hey, those guys are speaking my language. And everybody was really confused. They're like, what's going on here? And they all started to gather, and this huge crowd gathered, and it gave Peter the opportunity to preach the gospel. And as he preached the gospel, the people heard the gospel, they heard the word, and they believed it. And they said to him, what should we do? What are we going to do in response to this story that God has given his son to die on the cross for my sins and that he rose from the dead? This is an amazing story, and I believe it's true. What should I do? And Peter said to them in Acts 2, 38 and 39, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you have been baptized, if you have turned from sin and said and turned to God, you are fulfilling exactly the instruction that Peter gave to the people of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. That verse is applying to you. Now, if you've not yet repented, if you've not yet been baptized, if you've not yet received Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Good news. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's going to make everything new. Believe it. Believe it. Be baptized. And you will receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. Christian doctrine understands that the Scripture shows us that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, and yet there is one God. There's no real great analogy that I can use. There's no great metaphor that I can use. But, man, my daughter sometimes, she just, she gets me. She's like, she said to me on yesterday, she said, Dad, what are you going to preach about? Just like the sweetest question anybody could ever ask. I said, I'm going to preach about the Holy Spirit. She said, well, tell me about the Holy Spirit. And I began to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And she's like, oh, it's kind of like the three branches of government. Yeah, it kind of, except holy. So totally not at all. So there's not a great metaphor, but then we kind of understand. Yeah, each of the different branches, they are all government, but they all have their sort of different roles. They have different actions, different ways that they behave. Way we can understand the Trinity and the purpose of the triune God in working redemption in your life, that is bringing you to eternal salvation, so we could say that redemption comes when the Holy Spirit applies what the Father has authored and what the Son has accomplished into your life. So we see that the application, the authorship, and the accomplishment, each person of the Trinity working to bring it about. So God, in his triune eternal nature, is all at work. He's designed and he's done something that is now being placed into you. In other words, the Father has, the plan of salvation, that how we would be saved from sin by Jesus dying on the cross, this is the plan of the Father. This is the purpose of the Father, designed from eternity past. And the deal was, the Father, the Son, said, I will do this. This is my desire. Here I am. I have come to do your will. I will die on the cross for those people. I see them. I know them. I love them. And I want to die. I love them so much, I'm willing to die for their sins and conquer death, defeat it completely, and I will rise from the dead to bring them justification. That plan and that work done by the Father and the Son is then put into your heart, put into you by the work of the Holy Spirit. He, right now, if you believe it, it's because the Holy Spirit is persuading you of it. He's convincing you of it. I cannot convince you. Your Sunday school teacher cannot convince you. Thank you for teaching Sunday school, Jason. You know? You can't be persuaded and argued into it. There's no debate that's going to get... It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, he will use the words of your friends, the words of your family, the words of me. He will use us, but it's ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit that applies it into your life. And when that application comes, the Bible says that there's a sealing that takes place. You are marked with this seal. The sealing of the Holy Spirit marks the life and the language of the believer. How you think and how you talk is changed as that seal of ownership is placed upon you. You could say the seal of ownership, the seal, the mark, this is from God. Instead of a sticker that says, a tag that says made in China, like most of your merchandise, the sticker on you says made in the heavens, made on the cross, made in the empty tomb, made by God, applied into your life. You have a seal upon you. I'm going to tell you 5 things about this sealing. And I'm going to tell you them right now. If you're a note taker, I was wondering about this. Are you guys, anybody note takers? Anybody? Oh, look at you guys. You got note taking? All right. You guys using the YouVersion Bible app? Anybody using that? All right, I'm telling you ahead of time. Here's the 5 things that I'm going to tell you about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. That he is a spirit of promise, a spirit of power, a spirit of purity, a spirit of pioneering, and a spirit of production. All right, if you wrote those down all real quick, that's pretty good. You should be a court reporter. Here we go. Number one, you are sealed with the promised spirit, the promised spirit. Ephesians 1, I preached this message back on March 13th. So go back there and review your notes. Back on March 13th, I preached about Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. You were sealed with the promise. The promise. I love this. I love the sealing of the promise. It's interesting that I preached that back in March 13. I remember very distinctly how March 13, 2020, was when a promise to me was broken. I was very upset about this. Because way back, March 13, 2020, right, that was the day that the world stopped. Everything ruined. Prior to that, I had won the prize on the radio, which I love. This is my hobby, for those of you who don't know, is winning prizes on the radio. And I had won a trip to go to Las Vegas to watch Aerosmith. I know, you guys are like looking at me like, are you serious? Yeah, I did. I did. They were going to have their Deuces Wild residency at the Park MGM. And I had won 2 tickets for a 2-night stay and to go see. And my wife was like, I don't want to see Aerosmith. And I was like, I don't care. We're going. Oh, and it was supposed to happen in I think, April of 2020. I was really excited about it. It was a promise. I won it. And then they said, well, because of this global pandemic, Las Vegas is closed. Or something like that. Man, what a bummer. Did anybody else have a promise broken in 2020? Lame. But good news! The promises of God aren't broken. There's no pandemic that can stop a Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful for Nicole reading and leading us in this song, Yes and Amen, which is based on, and she read the scriptures, and I was like, Nicole, you're not allowed to read the verses that I'm going to, I guess you are allowed. You're the worship leader. You can do whatever you want. 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2022, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. It's God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Spirit of God is upon you, promising, confirming all of God's promises. Now, if you want to try and play games with God and be like, oh, God promised me a BMW, no, that's not what we're talking about here. The promises of God is that God loves you. Yes. The promises of God is your sins are forgiven. Yes. Is this true? Yes, and amen. The promises of God is that he will raise you from the dead. Yes. And amen. The promises of God is that there is an eternity, a new heavens and a new earth where you will dwell with him in perfect righteousness. Yes. And amen. Nothing can stop the promises of God. And the Holy Spirit is upon you and in you and saying to you, yes. And amen. It is true. It is true. It is real. It is perfect. The promises of God. So listen to me here. If the Holy Spirit is in you right now, confirming those promises, do not grieve him by despising his promises. Instead, rest and rejoice in what is in store. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And if you go, oh, I don't really know if my sins are forgiven. I don't really know about this resurrection. I don't really know. Maybe I need to work harder for my salvation. Maybe heaven isn't for real. No. Stop. Rest in his promises. Rejoice. I love that we sang that. I will rest in his promises. I will rest in them. I will trust in him because the Holy Spirit is in me confirming it. I told you we are sealed with the Spirit of promise. We're also sealed with the empowering Spirit. The empowering Spirit. He is active and working in you and enabling you. He's empowering you. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Power. How many of you guys are into the Lord of the Rings stuff? Do I got some wizard nerds in here going on? Yeah? I got some dwarf dorks? Come on. Amazon releasing their new Rings of Power. How many are you watching Rings of Power? Wow. Okay, there's three of you. Now you go back, you watch the original Lord of the Rings, and it begins. The opening idea is that there's the different races, creatures. There's the elves, and they're the best, the fairest of all of the creatures on Middle Earth. And there's the dwarves. And the dwarves, they like to dig down into the mountains and mine and stuff because they're dwarves. They don't mention the hobbits because they're kind of the... whatever. But then there's the men, humans, man. And what does man crave above all else? Power. Power. You go back and you watch those Lord of the Rings movies or read those books, and it's really, that's what it's about. It's this whole story about the craving, desperation that human beings have for power and how corrupting that desire is. It's awful. We're just always doing all sorts of terrible things because we crave power. But when you have the Holy Spirit in you, You have the right power, the right kind of power, the power that is not like the power that the Gentile leaders lord it over each other, but it's the power to serve. It's the power to lay down our lives. It's the power to sacrifice. It's the power to build up. As it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 12, strive to excel in building up the church. This is the power that we have. And so when Jesus came and he said, you will receive power to be my witnesses. You will receive power to be my witnesses. Not you will receive power to lord it over others, to put them in their place, to tell them that they are wrong and worthless, and unless they get on board with what you know to be true. That's not power. Your power is to witness to the glory of God. Our power is to witness to the salvation work of Jesus Christ. And to call people, to invite people into that. So how do we grieve the Holy Spirit in regards to the power that he brings us? We grieve the Holy Spirit when we discount our calling to be his witnesses. When we say, oh, you know, I go to church, or I'm willing to, you know, I'm a believer, but the power is not really there. I'm not really used by God. It's like, I like to be a part of the church, or I like to, you know, whatever. Just show up. No. You are empowered to testify boldly to the work of Jesus Christ. You are. You. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, me. Me. You could also call them out. You. Each of you are empowered to testify to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your presence here today, you showing up here today, is a part of that. Because when we come together on a Sunday morning, not just I want to come and listen to the songs, and I want to come and maybe, you know, have my questions, and no, but you're coming today not on that basis, but you're coming today and saying, the Holy Spirit is at work in me. He's making me a part of a family. He's giving me a place to speak into someone's life. He's giving me the opportunity to hear from someone else. And it's us, it is the church of God that is the empowered witness to his glory. You are redeemed, you are saved, you are spirit-filled to powerfully testify to Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in Acts 2, right? They got together, they proclaimed the praises of God, the people outside heard it, and the Holy Spirit transformed their hearts and brought them in. That's power. That's the kind of power that transforms the world. Has been, will continue, until Christ returns. Let me tell you quickly on this third story about this, that you are sealed with the purifying Spirit. Sealed with the purifying Spirit. And this is a long story, so I'm going to tell it rather quickly. It's in Acts chapter 8, where the story is of Simon the sorcerer, Simon the magician. Simon is this dude, and he's trying to make a living by doing magic tricks. Seems reasonable, right? You got to do what you got to do. But Philip shows up and starts telling him the gospel, and Simon believes. And Simon gets saved. Simon is baptized. That's awesome. Praise God. But then what happens is the Peter and John show up, and they go, hey, what's going on here with this church? This is a really cool church. I'm glad to see you guys got the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. And they go, no, what's the power of the Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? We don't know the Holy Spirit. We were baptized in the name of Jesus. And they go, oh, there's more. There's even more. There's more than what you know. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So they laid their hands on them, and they prayed on them, and they began to speak in other tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Simon was like, what? This is even better than my magic tricks. And so he goes, hey, Peter, come here, check it out. Here's $100. Doesn't actually tell us the denomination. He just says, can I give you some money so that I can have that power too? Because I want to be able to put my hands on people and have them receive the Holy Spirit because it's pretty awesome. Peter's like, dude, may your money perish with you. You think you can buy the Spirit of God? Repent so that this wickedness does not overcome you. And Simon's like, oh, my bad. Whoops. That was bad. Please pray for me so that this doesn't happen to me. So that's the story in Acts 8. You can read the whole story there. It's pretty cool. But I want to use it as an illustration of how that there's this purifying work that the Holy Spirit is doing. And that purifying work is to get us to revalue things appropriately. See, the big problem that Simon had here was that he thought he could buy the Spirit of God. Now, let me make this very, very clear. If there is anything that you can buy, that you personally have the capacity to buy, that thing, whether it be value meal at Taco Bell after you leave the church, or whether it be a estate in Beverly Hills, if you have the ability to buy it, it's cheap. If you can buy it, it's cheap. Even if you're like, well, but I got a whole lot of money and I can buy a whole lot, it's still cheap. If you spend every single dollar that you have and can acquire that thing, it's cheap. Because do you know what you cannot buy? Salvation. Do you know what you cannot buy? The Holy Spirit of God. You cannot buy a soul. That's the things that really matter. And so what happens is when we treat the things of the Holy Spirit like cheap trinkets, we grieve the Holy Spirit. So don't do that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by treating his gifts like cheap trinkets. Things that can be bought and sold and bartered. Things that can be treated lightly. No. The Holy Spirit of God is a lavish treasure, worth far more than all you could ever imagine. There's a word for this. There's a word for an object that is so valuable that it cannot be purchased. It's priceless. There's no amount of money that would ever measure up. That's the Holy Spirit of God. How are you treating him? Is he priceless? Is he precious? Is he worth far more than all you could ever have? How do you treat him? So that's what determines, when you get that mindset, the purifying work of God in your life. Because when you recognize that what you, your soul was bought with was not perishable things like silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the most valuable object that has ever flowed on this earth, his precious, perfect blood was the price that was paid for your soul. If you believe that, then how are you going to live? Like a cheap trinket? Just dilly-dallying with, oh, I'm going to try out this sin this week. Or are you going to recognize, sin does not belong in my heart? Why am I so given over to these impure thoughts, impure actions, impure, weak, unholy desires, unholy intentions? The preciousness of the blood of Jesus, the greater we understand the preciousness of the blood of Jesus, the more we will pursue a holy life, a pure life. Isn't that true? That is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. Oh, but wait, there's more. The Holy Spirit in us is a pioneering spirit. We are sealed with the pioneering spirit. I love the concept of pioneering. Pioneering. The United States of America was founded, really became established by the pioneering work. This author, biographer, David McCullough, just passed away a few weeks ago. And I have not yet read this book, but I think I'm going to because it sounds really interesting. He wrote a book about the pioneers and how they were driven. They decided, I want to go to the farther western expansion. We're going to go through St. Louis, and I can understand getting to St. Louis and saying, we got to keep going. My apologies to my Midwest friend out there, but you're here, so you also understand. And you kept going. They said, but when in that going, they looked out on this great vast plains and massive mountains and impossible to cross rivers. And they said, we just got to keep going. That pioneering spirit is what built this country. It's a really amazing concept. They would set out on the Oregon Trail and there's like 100 of them and like 3 are going to show up. It's amazing. They just, let's go. And that's the kind of Spirit of God that is at work in the life of the believer, especially when you read the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts and you just start seeing, this jumps off the pages all the time. The Holy Spirit said, Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Now, I don't think that what they mean by that is that Philip heard an audible voice instead, but he did hear the Holy Spirit speaking to him. He heard the Holy Spirit speaking to him, and the Holy Spirit said, go. You see that chariot over there? Go over there. Go. That's there's two words that the Holy Spirit says more than any other. Go and no. He says, go there and don't go there. This is the pioneering spirit. He's driving us, compelling us. In Acts 16:6, they went through the region of Phrygia, that's a fun word, and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Go over to that chariot, don't go over there to Asia. Go and no. Listening to the Holy Spirit, so important. And if we're not willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, guess what? He is grieved. He is grieved if we don't listen. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit by fighting against his leading. Instead, listen attentively and obey expeditiously. Immediately, intentionally, quickly. Do you know why? Some of you here this morning are like, I don't know. I'm not really hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you're not always hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? Or not often hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? It's because your life is too loud. Your life is too loud. I recognized that this morning when I got in my car and I turned it on, an immediate radio. For you young people, it's kind of like a podcast. Sound immediately. Think about it. How can you hear the Holy Spirit when you've surrounded yourself by so many other voices? Music, podcast. Maybe it's not even a voice. Maybe you're just reading something, scrolling through something. Perpetual inundation with information will silence, doesn't really silence, but it will drown out the voice of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's intentional. You don't want to hear the Holy Spirit say, go on over there to that chariot. If I go over to that chariot, I'm going to have to talk to an Ethiopian. I don't know about that. They eat food with they don't have utensils. Nobody here had Ethiopian food? It's good. You should try it, but just wash your hands. Bring some hand sanitizer. Nobody likes the Ethiopian jokes. Okay. It was there. That was the reality. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to listen. You don't want to go. And every time we do that, every time we intentionally distract ourselves from hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, we are, sorry to tell you, grieving Him. We're grieving Him. So we have to be intentional to put aside those distractions. Let me help you out here. You got your little rectangle there, your little glass computer, supercomputer. Take that thing and turn it off. It's crazy. I'll tell you this. Take that thing and put it wherever you put it at home, and then walk out the door and walk down the street without it. You want to hear the Holy Spirit talking to you? That seems like it might help. Anybody sign up for this? Come on. Go for a walk without your phone, and maybe you'll hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I'm not a big practical advice dispenser, but this one works, right? Listen. Listen for His voice. And obey. Obey. Okay, God. I want to hear You. I want to go. This is the other thing, the other characteristic that we have. Maybe it's just me. Okay, this is all just me. And you guys can take what you want and leave behind. But I have to get advice for a thing that I'm not really sure on how to handle and I'm not sure what I want to do. You know what I'll do? I'll call everybody except for God. Right? Hey, what do you think about this? 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 And the Holy Spirit's like, you gonna ask me? I got an idea. But maybe I don't want to ask Him because I know what He's going to say, and He's going to say either go or no, and I don't want to hear either of those. I want to hear it's somebody else's fault and you should blame them and be mad at them for the rest of your life. Yeah. Holy Spirit never tells me that. He never tells me that I should be bitter against somebody for the rest of my life. I don't get it, because that's my favorite thing to do. What's up with that? The scripture said, just delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, that's my delight. Be grumpy. Man, He's just too holy for that, isn't He?
Yes, He is.
The promising Spirit, the empowering Spirit, the purifying Spirit, and the pioneering Spirit, and all of those work together to be what we know Him best as. We are sealed with the producing Spirit. He is creating in you. He is creating in me the characteristics, the accent, the language of Jesus Christ Himself. He is making me like Jesus. He is making you like Jesus. And the 9 characteristics that are most obvious of this, we shorthand call them the fruit of the Spirit, the produce of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Sorry, I jumped ahead there, Trevin. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. the fruit of the Spirit, the produce of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit. This is what he's creating in you, church. This is why he's saying go. Go, go, go. You cannot have the fruit of the Spirit of love. It doesn't work if you don't go. You can't love some. I really love the Queen. She meant so much. Like, the people that are lining up for 40 hours or whatever to stand and see the grave of the Queen, or see her lying in state out there in England. You guys following this story? I actually believe them when they say they loved her. But you know, my, like, this Facebook friend, it's, oh, I just love the Queen. You just go on a plane and prove it. Go fly over there and stand in line. No, you don't love her. You don't know her. Love goes. Love actually demonstrates itself. Love shows up. Yes. It shows up. That's what the Spirit of God, he drives us. Love. Joy. Talk about joy. Look at Acts 13, 50 through 52. I've been showing you throughout the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit's at work. The Jews incited the devout women of high standing and leading men of that city, and they stirred up persecutions against Paul and Barnabas, and they drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That is what Holy Spirit produced fruit looks like. It's joy in the midst of persecution and rejection. It's joy when people say all sorts of slanderous things against you. You still have joy. Not only do you have joy, but you love. Not only do you love and have joy, but you have peace. And you wait with patience. And you don't treat them the way that they treat you. Instead, you treat them with kindness, with gentleness. The Spirit of God is working in you. He has sealed you. He has set the promises of the redemption of Jesus Christ into your heart. In the very depths of your heart, at work in you, is the promise. Your sins are forgiven. Everlasting life is yours. And you will be his witnesses to this. And you will demonstrate the truth of this by saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. By living out a fruit-filled life. So I'll tell you the last thing about the warning to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by bearing sour grapes. Instead, bear good, life-giving fruit. You know they have grapes now that taste like cotton candy.
Yes, they do.
I think that's what the Spirit of joy is like. I don't know. Bear good fruit. Good grapes. Delightful. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is what the Spirit of God is at work creating in you. So I pray that today that you are inspired to invite that Holy Spirit to be at work in you. Whether it's promising and confirming these promises, or pioneering and driving you, or working purity into you, or maybe you just need to be reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Yes, even you are called to be his witness, to bear good fruit. I'd like our worship team to come back up as we sing again, yes and amen.
Yeah.
All these promises are yes and amen. They are true. They are good. The salvation is real. The forgiveness of God is yours to live in, to walk in, and to grant to others. Let that guide you. Would you stand with me as I pray over you and we sing this song? Jesus, you are so good, so kind, so faithful. Send your Spirit into our hearts. Lord, we know you are within us. We know that we have so often ignored you. or intentionally not listened or disobeyed. But right now, we repent and we turn back to you. We ask for you to take over, guide us, produce good fruit in us. Remind us of the promises. And we sing this song to give you praise. Amen.